If you can record a video, like a 360-degree video, then you can totally rewatch your videos and experience your experience the vacation you took in completely different ways that you completely missed while you were there.
Let's watch that fireworks at the Magic Kingdom mm-hmm. at the end again. But this time we're going to watch Tinkerbell on the Wire. And the next time we're going to watch the fireworks specifically. And the next time we're going to watch those weird people who are making so much noise behind us. And the next time we're going to watch the parade that was coming through over and over and over. Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog, episode 16 for Friday, July 24th, 2015. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, we've got a grab bag of technology topics for you. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. Who came up with the term grab bag?
I don't know.
Be a good title.
Like rifling around in the big bag full of topics.
Well, it's bigger on the inside.
Welcome to a late night episode.
Yeah, I'm trying not to make a vasectomy joke. So, ba-doom-tsh. All right. Let's talk about housekeeping.
Okay, yeah, we have some.
Excellent.
Oh, you wanted me to do that part.
TRD is now on Stitcher. We're on Stitcher. Did we mention we're on Stitcher?
I don't think we mentioned it, no.
Have you heard of Stitcher?
I had not, actually, but I hear it's pretty popular.
I had heard of Stitcher, and I think it's fair to say years ago, I considered signing up the original niche podcast for Stitcher, and I read some terms of service shenanigans about how they owned the content or something horrifying like that. And I said, yeah, no thanks.
No, thank you.
Correct. And then someone recently, fast forward a year or two, someone recently said, hey, how come you're not on Stitcher? And Stitcher has since been bought by some media conglomerate, I guess, and the terms were a lot more amenable. So we went for it. And if you are a big Stitcher fan and you're forced to listen to this in some podcatcher that Apple released, then you can now listen to us on Stitcher.
Yes, you can.
And I hope that makes things easier for someone.
Presumably it will for at least the person that asked about it.
Mm-hmm. And the first person to tell us on Twitter or Facebook that they are listening to us on Stitcher gets a free sticker.
And anyone else who wants to go and fill out the form gets a free sticker.
Did I mention we have free stickers?
I had meant to mention this. I stopped myself to correct myself, but what I was saying was totally correct. It's late. I have not slept in 2 days. I had meant to mention this last week and forgot about it entirely. And I still have not sent the first batch out for technical difficulties. And so I will do that. I was going to send them on Wednesday, but then I thought, well, it's almost Friday anyway, so I'll wait and see if we get any new interest after this episode, and I'll just send them all out next week.
I wish we could put them on Amazon, like a free ebook or something. Yeah. And Amazon would just fulfill them for us. That would be so awesome.
Yeah, we could probably put them on the site that I had them printed from, but I think we would have to sell them.
We don't want to do that.
No, I don't want to do that for just a sticker.
Awesome. So stickers available. So bottom line is visit the site for show notes and you'll have a link to the free sticker form.
Yes.
Just need your address. And then there's this entry in housekeeping that I don't understand that says smart versus simple. Check out episode 7 for more. Do tell.
Yeah, I kind of threw that one in there. We had someone, you had quoted something on Facebook and or Twitter the other day about we don't need smart devices. We need a bunch of simple devices making us smarter. And someone on Twitter had asked us to elaborate on that and sort of what you meant by that. And we go into that in a lot of detail in episode 7.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they have not listened to episode 7 or if they have questions beyond that. So I just wanted to mention that if you're out there and you were one of the people confused by that statement, you should check out that episode. And then if you have more specific questions, feel free to ask.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Cool. So that with that said, I think we can move directly into the feature for our impatient listeners.
I think we can, and I'll just let you keep reading off the topics because my screen has gone dark.
I will do that for you. And I am very, very excited about the first one. And if we don't get to anything else, I'll be cool with it.
Okay.
Oculus Rift first impressions.
Yes. Not to rehash the virtual reality too much because we have talked about it a fair bit. However, this definitely bears mentioning. This yes.
is hands-on, right?
Yes, this is hands-on. We got the developer kit, DK2, and we probably got it like 2.5-3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then we waited almost 2 weeks for the computer that would run it.
So, yes, this is an interesting point, which I don't think people are aware of. I was not aware of until very recently, mm-hmm. which is that you need to have a beefy machine.
You do. And I don't think for the developer kit, at least, I don't think you need one quite as beefy as the one that we got. But I had been sort of squirreling away for that one as a surprise graduation present for my husband anyway.
Mm, cool.
Now he just gets it early.
Cool. And it was still half the price of a Mac Pro, so whatever.
Yeah, half the price and almost twice the computer.
Okay. But it doesn't fit in a wine rack, so where do you
get it? No, it doesn't. And I don't get it confused with my trash can or my humidifier, so.
If we had a Mac Pro, I'd accidentally try and throw a diaper away in it. So this is worth taking a second, a short tangent to say the Oculus Rift is kind of the state of the art for virtual reality. Mm-hmm. If you follow the tech news and all of this stuff is basically hands off to you and it's just stuff that you're hearing us and other people talking about, I think it's really interesting to point out that the Rift takes crazy amounts of processing power. It's how much you guys had to pay for it, right? It was like, what?
Developer kit is $350, and it does not have the Oculus Touch controllers that they announced.
So you're spending a grand minimum between the machine and the device itself to even get access to a demo, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
On your face, yeah. Okay. And on the flip side, you can get Google Cardboard for free, or if you really are lazy, you can pay someone $20 to send you a cardboard kit and stick your Android phone in it. And if you don't have an Android phone, you can get one for free by signing up with Verizon or AT&T, probably T-Mobile and Sprint too in the US. So are those as good? We'll find out shortly. But what is really, really interesting to me is the drastic difference in accessibility in terms of cost.
Yes. Yes. The accessibility is, I mean, it's huge. I'm totally going to pay someone $20 to do it because otherwise it requires cutting out cardboard. And every time I get close to a razor blade, there are stitches.
It's a bad way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unofficialcardboard.com. Those are my cardboard people. I bought three of them from them.
Nice.
They've iterated. They're on the third version of the cardboard phone holder, and it actually got better with each iteration. So
that's pretty cool.
Yes, unofficialcardboard.com.
I'm surprised no one has made a plastic cardboard yet.
Oh no, there's tons. You can get chamfered edges, everything you want. It. It's out there. Yeah. No, you can get fancy ones. The most recent unofficial cardboard that I got came with a head strap so that you don't have to like actually hold it on your face. You can just walk around. And
that would be very handy.
Yeah. I mean, the Google Cardboard, we're going to talk about Oculus, but it's very, very interesting that there's also basically an entry level pennies on the dollar version of.
Yeah. So yeah, Here's a taste of virtual reality that you can make out of an old pizza box.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So, okay, so enough of that. So I am dying to hear. We have not talked about this really at all.
No, we haven't.
You told me one thing about it, which is compelling.
Yes.
But I'll let you.
I told you a couple of compelling things.
But two exactly. They usually come in pairs.
Yes.
So like, tell me, I want you to walk me through the whole experience, like without being ridiculous, but like the unboxing, the whole thing, is it like, would your dad have been able to set it up? Is this a total geek thing, et cetera, et cetera?
There was a bit of trickiness in terms of drivers and things that had to be downloaded and installed and configured on the computer for it. And I suspect that's just because it's the developer kit.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that the finished product is going to be a lot more plug and play.
Was this a command line type of NPM install type of
thing? It was just a matter of, okay, finding which libraries do I download for this video card and which that sort of thing.
Mm, okay, that's pretty geeky. Like having to even know that you have a video card is like, Okay.
I mean for us it was pretty straightforward to get it set up and running. But if you're not computer savvy, the developer kit at least is going to take a bit of work.
Okay, so you're not picking this up in Best Buy anytime soon.
Yeah. I imagine the one you pick up in Best Buy will, like I said, will be a lot more plug and play.
Okay.
So now you
do that.
Yeah.
And it's plugged into, and of course you're like, oh wow, our computer's way too slow.
Yeah.
So let's fast forward to now you have the fast computer with all the stuff installed on it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like USB it into, is it like a mouse? Is it like a peripheral?
Yeah, there's a USB plug that you plug it into the computer, mm-hmm. and then you need another USB for the camera.
The camera.
Mm-hmm. The infrared camera for the head tracking.
Right. So it's got this like Kinect style. The newest mm-hmm. version of Oculus has this like thing that watches your head move to try and keep you from feeling like you're going to barf.
Yeah. So it, and just also so it can track your movement in whatever virtual world.
Now, does it track your whole body like a Kinect, or is it just your head?
No, it's just head tracking. Actually, the Oculus has infrared LEDs in it. That this camera, it's an infrared camera, and it uses those LEDs to do the motion tracking.
Gotcha. And where do you put the tracker?
Richard's got it mounted on top of his monitor.
So not too far away. You don't have to be sitting on the couch and have it on the TV.
No, we haven't tested the range because the USB cord that came with it is not super long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's long enough that you can stand up in front of the computer,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like a 15 foot or anything. I think it's probably like 6 or 8 foot cable.
Okay. So let's say I've got the Kinect thing set up.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the thing on my face. It's plugged in. All my drivers are installed. My computer is rocking and rolling.
Okay. You skip the part where you have to install the lenses.
Oh, what's that?
the lenses for the Oculus. Like the actual hardware. You kind of have to put some stuff together on the developer kit because there are different
physically,
yeah, like with a screwdriver on the
I'm out
again. I imagine the commercial version will be different.
What is this thing, a lawnmower?
Yeah, it comes with it's got some installed, and then I think there's a second set, and there's a couple of different types of power adapters and that sort of thing too, because it's powered. You know, actually, now that I think of it, it's not the Oculus Rift itself does not plug into the computer. That's the power cord for the Oculus Rift that I'm thinking of.
Okay, interesting. So how does it connect to the software? Like,
that's all done through the head. Wait, no, God, you know, I was not there when Richard set this up, and I have not looked at the stuff coming out of the back of his computer.
Mm. It probably doesn't matter. I'm just sort of curious. It doesn't really matter. But the experience, like obviously software is running somewhere. I'm assuming it's on mm-hmm. the computer because the computer has to be so beefy.
Yeah.
It must be connected to the glasses somehow. Maybe it's a wire, maybe it's wireless. It probably doesn't matter.
Yeah. I honestly don't remember. Richard set all that up, and I was just like, you know, let me know when I can put it on.
Mm, cool. So, all right. So you have to do some physical, you know, you're like playing optometrist there for a second. You're like, okay, let me put these lenses in here.
Yeah. And you can adjust the distance that they are from your face. So you can adjust them so you can wear it with glasses and adjust pupillary distance. So things aren't, you know, get it to where you can look through it comfortably and things aren't blurry.
Mm. For the record, the most recent version from Unofficial Cardboard does have adjustable lenses.
Yes.
But it's just a width adjustment. Mm-hmm. So that you can set them to the width of your eyes, which drastically cuts down on the massive migraine
that it gives you
if they're too close together or too far apart.
Yes.
But this sounds like much more sophisticated because it also gives you like a Z axis, so distance from your face in order mm-hmm. to handle glasses or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And it pretty comfortably works with glasses.
That is super interesting. I could go off on a whole tangent about glasses, but you're probably the wrong person to talk to about that. Like, why would glasses matter? I mean, the thing's right there, but whatever. Separate thing. The point, the takeaway for the listener is that if you do wear glasses, this will fit over them.
Yeah, you'll be able to use this.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And Richard wears glasses, yeah?
Yes, he does.
Okay, and he didn't have a problem.
He does. Richard without his glasses is blinder than I am, which is pretty blind.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, so he didn't have any problems with that, though.
That's impressive. All right, cool. Okay, so now, like, we're all set up. Like, this is 2 weeks of build-up. You're like, we've been waiting for this hardware. We've got little screwdrivers and, like we stick on this. All right, so the thing's finally plugged in.
Yes.
Right? So,
it's
like...
plugged in. The drivers are all installed. It's set up.
The expectations are through the roof. Like, you could... Yes. I can't imagine that you could possibly be more potentially disappointed. You know, after all this.
Yeah, I don't think I've been this excited about a piece of hardware in a long time. And yes, potentially.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you, I know what the initial cardboard experience is, and it's really kind of hard to describe. So like, what's the, because this is a completely new kind of experience for most people. What's the first thing that happens once the hardware is all set up? Like you put the thing on your face and like, what do you do? Like, is there an onboarding app or like a thing you're supposed to launch and it walks you through, like, here's how you turn your head, here's what your hands can do?
Well, it came with a demo scene, which is just that's all it is, basically, is one scene. It's not like a,
is it interactive, like, or you just sort of watch it like a movie?
It's basically like a 3D rendering of a world, and it just plops you into it.
Okay.
But it's a very small world. It's more like a room.
Okay.
And it kind of plops you into this virtual room.
Yep.
And when you first put it on, you know, it tells you sit comfortably and look straight ahead. And
In the real world.
Yeah. In the real world, sit comfortably and look straight ahead and then hit the space bar. And so then it centers you and kind of the eye tracking and head tracking, head tracking software kind of sets that. Okay, this comfortable straight ahead position is your center point. We'll base all of our tracking off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, that's way more sophisticated than cardboard.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then with cardboard's not doing any head tracking because you're carrying the world around with your head.
Yeah. I mean, my assumption is that everything is accelerometer based.
Yeah. I would assume so.
Mm-hmm. It just assumes you're standing up straight.
Yeah. So yeah, you put it on and then just boom, there you are in this room and it's 3D. And of course I couldn't see the 3D because I can't see 3D anyway.
Hmm.
But it looked, to me, it looked to have as much depth to it as I see every day with one eye anyway. So it wasn't like it was lacking any compared to my perception of the real world.
Yes. And it's funny because, I mean, for the new terrifying robot listener, Kelly has one eye.
Yes.
And a lot of people have two eyes, but that's not the case here. And what didn't occur to me was that... You know, obviously, I'm like, oh, no, she doesn't have depth perception. So I felt like it would water down the experience, but that's your normal experience.
Yeah, that's my normal everyday experience.
So it's not really watered down.
No, it's not. Because if you're in a scene that's lit with proper light and shadows, then it's going to look no different to me than what I'm used to anyway. Because I judge distances based off of like shadows and angles and that sort of thing.
How much does sound play into that? Like bat radar type stuff.
You know, surprisingly more than I would have thought.
Uh-huh.
I actually did an experiment on that a while ago. Back when I was having some more serious eye problems and stuff. I did an experiment or was actually just a lot more cognizant of how my other senses came into play.
So
yeah.
Does Oculus, I've seen pictures of people with like headphones that are attached to it in their ears. Does this have that?
No, it doesn't. You'll have to use a separate headset with it.
Okay.
But you can pretty comfortably put a headset on over top of the Oculus.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. All right, sweet. So you're like, you're in this thing and you're like,
yeah.
Huh. This is.
Commercial version has headset.
Yeah, I thought I saw that. I thought I saw it built in. Okay, so cool. So you put the thing on, and the first thing is this room scene, and it's what people are coming to refer to as a spherical video, or what I've said called in the past 360 video.
Yeah, yeah. You're in a room, and there's a desk, and on a rug, and you're sitting at this desk.
Mm-hmm. And now, is it a cartoon or is it a video that was taken?
It's not a video, but it's 3D rendered. You can tell it's not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I mean, it's not photorealistic, but it's real enough that it tricks your brain after just a very short time.
What do you mean tricks your brain?
It has been a very long time. Like on the desk is a glass of water and like this house of cards, like this card house mm-hmm. made from playing cards and paper and pencils and that sort of thing. And it has been a very long time since I have seen Kira as frustrated as she was when she could not walk, knock down the house of cards.
Oh,
like
right.
She was sitting there and she kept reaching for things.
In real life.
Yeah. Like reaching for the drink and reaching for the.
Okay. So the Kira, cards. Who's like 13 now, right?
Yes. Yes.
So you put it on her.
Yeah. At first, before she was like, okay, it's video with wrap around video. And then she put it on and she was just instant mind blown. Oh my God, this is amazing.
Right. And like within 30 seconds, her hands in real life were reaching for stuff that wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that was the natural reaction to the stimulus.
Yeah. And then I put it on and it was the same way. Like I put it on and I was like, okay, I'm looking at these rendered things. It looks really cool, but I know they're not real.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started talking to Richard about something else. And we got done with our little discussion there and I turned around. And I was like, I looked down at this virtual desk and I tried to pick up the pencil. Like just in that amount of time, knowing that I'm in this virtual world, it was enough for my brain to just kind of lose that. And I look over and see a pencil. I'm like, oh, I'm going to pick it up and doodle on this piece of paper here.
Wild. So dear listener, check that out. So like, even though you're perfectly 100% conscious of the fact that this is fake, it tricks your mind to the point where your body's accidentally having muscle memory reactions to what you're seeing.
Yeah.
Even though your brain knows.
It was crazy.
It's super powerful. This is not Apple Watch.
No.
This is like a big freaking deal.
Yeah.
Because your brain, even though you know, you can fool your body into thinking you're somewhere else. You're in a completely different environment.
Yeah. It's just so instinctive to see this environment and want to interact with it.
Right. So check out, like we said on a previous show, like the gloves, the haptic gloves, you buy a $200 glove, you buy a pair of maybe for $500, you buy a pair of gloves that will integrate with this kind of visual software to give you the feeling of texture and weight based on bizarre reactions of haptic feedback.
Yeah. And you're gone. You're somewhere else.
You're out. See ya.
Yeah.
Hey, hon, where are you?
Yeah, exactly. It was crazy. I mean, like, I knew I wasn't in this virtual world, but in that moment, it was just instinctive to just sort of reach for it.
Yeah, your lizard brain didn't know. So, like, let's take this through to completion. So,
okay, this might just end up being the whole episode on this.
That's, I mean, please. Oculus Rift is the biggest thing that's happening in technology right now, or VR in general.
Yeah.
Hands down. I love watches. I think they're really cool, but that's an accessory. This is a brand new computing concept. So, and it's going to radically change society. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, folks.
Yeah, it's like you were talking about the devices that completely change computing posture. A watch doesn't change computing posture that much. It puts the phone that you're already used to using now on your wrist in a smaller screen.
Yes, I agree. It's not a brand new posture. This is a completely new interaction model.
Yeah.
So, and like immersive. Like, you want to talk about immersive? Forget about it. Like, you're tricking your body into reacting to stimulus that you know full well is not there.
Yeah, we played Minecraft with it.
And what was that like?
It doesn't feel...
First of all, how? Like, you can just plug it in like it's a monitor?
No, there's a modded version of Minecraft that supports the Oculus Rift.
Okay. And P.S., Second Life supports Oculus Rift.
Yes, it does.
Which is freaking scary. Like if you're worried about having a stroke and or starving to death plugged into a computer, you should be worried about this.
Yeah. Yeah. But Minecraft was, on one hand, it was a little disappointing. It did not feel as immersive as even just that demo scene that it dumped you into at the beginning.
Okay.
But
it must have felt more immersive than the normal Minecraft.
It felt more immersive than the normal Minecraft. It didn't feel as immersive as I was expecting it to in terms of, like, I expected virtual reality to feel more like I was in the world.
Right.
Which it did not do with Minecraft. And I'm sure it's because everything is giant blocks. It was just too cartoony for my brain to make that leap.
Wow, that's really interesting. I mean, for people who aren't familiar with Minecraft, it's easy to get familiar with it, but it's almost a purposely Lego-like blocky environment, which allows you to kind of like impose your own reality on it because it's so generic, which is kind of genius in a 2D space, like on a regular computer or maybe on an iPad or even an iPhone or, you know, smartphone.
Right.
So I'm a little bit, I guess I'm not surprised, but it didn't, like, what, there must have been differences. Like, what were the, like, wow, like, oh yeah, man, there, that creeper is so tall. Or
right, there were definitely advantages to being in the virtual environment. I just didn't have that suspension of disbelief where it felt like I'm in another world. It felt like, oh, I'm playing Minecraft in a really cool environment.
Right.
Not I'm transported into this other world.
Now, did you try any other, like, sort of, like, first-person games, like a shooter or anything? Because
yeah, we've tried a couple. But the big takeaway with Minecraft was you did get a much greater sense of movement and scale.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes the game a lot cooler.
Were you playing creative mode or survival?
Yeah, creative mode.
So you could fly and everything.
Yeah.
And it
which is crazy. Like we had several people have tried our Oculus Rift this week.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the favorite things to do is to fly up really high in Minecraft and then look down at the ground and fall.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was
people
picturing.
People can't stand up when they do it.
That's the first thing I was, what do you mean?
They can't, just like they...
They'll fall over.
It's uncomfortable to stand up while you do that.
In the real world.
Yes.
I love that we have to differentiate between if we're talking about in the real world or inside the game.
Yeah.
It's like now that I have to say book to differentiate from an ebook.
Right.
It's like, wait, are you talking about real world or... So, all right. Yeah, I can totally see that. That's the first thing I would do in Minecraft, just fly up really high into the clouds and try and fall and see what it felt like.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so now the thing about Minecraft is, of course, it's very cartoony and blocky. It's almost like purposely pixelated. And you think of something like Gears of War or something, or Halo.
Yeah,
Which one?
We also did Skyrim.
Oh, right. Now, I've never heard of Skyrim before, but I'm told that it has very realistic
graphics. What rock have you been living under?
Well, so I Googled it after you said it, and it's actually not called Skyrim, is it? It's Elder Scrolls or something?
Yeah, it's Elder Scrolls Skyrim. It's part of...
It's like number.
Elder Scrolls has been an ongoing series of video games from Bethesda for 20 years, maybe.
All right. I've literally never heard of them.
Yeah, it's...
But it's a first-person shooter style thing, or it's a World of Warcraft?
It's a first-person... Well, it's not a shooter. It's a role-playing game.
Okay.
But it's a first person, and the opening scenes has this huge like dragon attacking this village that you're in. And so you're looking up at this giant 3D dragon and everything, and we're running it on a computer that is now a beefy enough computer to run graphics at their highest setting with no issues. And it looks amazing.
So here's the thing. I'm curious about, this is exactly what I was going for, which is, does it trigger the fear reaction? Do you ever forget that it's not real? Like, obviously it's a dragon, it's not real. But does your lizard brain ever kick in and be like, run?
It didn't for me, but it's probably because I've seen that opening scene maybe a dozen times.
Okay.
I can imagine that if you were in there long enough and experiencing something for the first time, that it would.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can kind of get like that when I get into a video game anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had four or five people now who have come over and tried this, and all the way from other software developers to just complete non geeks.
Yeah, normals.
And normals, is that what you said?
Yeah.
The reaction from everyone has just been, whoa, oh my God, this is amazing. It feels like you're there.
Yeah, that's the takeaway, gang. Is that this is going to catch on. People are going to, like, so your son or daughter or whatever, your geeky husband or whatever, is going to be like, we got to get this. It's going to be $300, and they're going to get it because they're going to want to play Halo or Gears of War or Skyrim or whatever. And then all of a sudden it's in the house, and then next thing you know, you're going to be watching Street View on it, and next thing you know, you're going to be watching videos of your kids because your kid has a GoPro and he went snowboarding and...
Oh, yeah. Vacation videos on this thing would be amazing.
Oh, it'd be sick.
Yeah.
you'd be able to see stuff that you didn't see when you were there.
Yes, you would.
You can continue looking around the Magic Kingdom after the fact without having to make sure that your kid's not getting abducted or eating too much popcorn.
Right. If you can have, if you can videotape, if you can videotape, if you can record a video, like a 360-degree video,
yeah,
then you can totally rewatch your videos and experience your experience the vacation you took in completely different ways that you completely missed while you were there.
Over and over and over. And as a group experience, you can be sitting there with your spouse and be like, let's check out, let's watch that the fireworks at the Magic Kingdom at the end again. And, but this time we're going to watch Tinkerbell on the Wire. And the next time we're going to watch the fireworks specifically. And the next time we're going to watch those weird people who are making so much noise behind us. And the next time we're going to watch the parade that was coming through over and over and over.
This time we're going to watch the kids' reaction to everything.
Yeah. And so this is insane because it's not, this wouldn't work if it was stock video of Disney. Like Disney won't be able to shoot these videos and people like pay to watch them. It won't be like that. It's like, this is your view of Disney, but you don't have, you're not limited to just looking the one place you looked at the one time that you looked there. You can continue to look around and around and around over and over and over.
You would be building new memories of your vacation months after your vacation.
Think of what that would be worth. You could charge double for a Disney vacation if this was part of the package.
Yeah, just like a camera that went around with you, that you took around with you, that recorded the 360.
Yeah, GoPro, put this on my head. Selfie stick in 360. Disney, call us. Longtime listeners will remember the episode about Black Mirror that that basically recorded everything you saw. But in that episode, the technology, the grain, did not record everything in 360 that was happening in your environment around you.
No, it literally recorded everything you saw.
Yeah. If your eyes closed and you went to sleep, you were not recording. It was like your eyeballs were a camera, which is really interesting. But imagine if you had this. You could go back to any situation and look all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, oh, just like random, stupid parent thing. Like eyes in the back of your head parent thing. Like,
like
who hit who?
Right.
Don't make me replay it.
Yeah. We'd know who shot Kennedy.
So, like, you name it. Like, talk about surveillance. If this was a common thing, there'd be no getting away with anything. I mean, there'd be no, you couldn't even pick your nose. I mean, like, it's, imagine going to a political rally. Like speaking of the Zapruder film, I mean, like, utterly game changing.
It feels a lot more possible now after having tried on the Oculus. Because you can listen to all the hype, but until you experience it.
We're about to shift from a lame 2D window into the web.
To actually being in the web.
You're going to be in the freaking web.
Yeah.
You're going to be in it as far as your brain is concerned.
Yeah, and the technology leader in this is a company that basically has limitless money to throw at it.
Yeah, Facebook. Yeah, and they've got, it's so funny because it was only like a year or two ago that they bought it. And even I was like, where are they going with this?
Yeah, I know exactly where they're going with this.
Well, I do now. It's obvious now. This is the new interface.
They're going to the Oasis.
They're going all the way. Yeah, totally. Yeah, they're going Ready Player One. And they should. They're the ones to do it.
Yeah.
It's totally disturbing. But, you know, and hopefully there'll be another one. I mean, Second Life will be one. But if Facebook doesn't buy Second Life, they're high. Because Second Life has all of the, Facebook has none of this tech unless it's completely behind closed doors. Second Life has its own scripting language, their own money, has its own economy. There's over a million users. It's got 10 years of virtual product development. There's like 10 years of people who have been making a living building virtual items in the store. And let me tell you, like I did a deep dive on Second Life after we started this show because we were talking about it. It's arresting.
Yeah.
And
we'll have to try it out now with the Oculus.
Yeah.
Just to see.
Yeah. There's nothing you can't do. It's scary addictive. So I mean, but I actually think it's cool in a way because, like, if I could ask Ernest Cline, so the author of Ready Player One. The premise of the book which it seems like is not going to be sci-fi in 2 years. Okay.
Right. The dystopian future part might be.
But that's the thing. So, like, that's the thing I would ask him. If I could ask him, do you think the world you depicted in Ready Player One is better or worse than the one we're in now? Mm-hmm. Because I think it's better. Okay, maybe I'm exaggerating a little. There's, like, pros and cons.
Yeah.
But he basically painted the in-real-life world as being a kind of, Mad Max. Not quite run Mad down. Max. Yeah, run down, ugly, just neglected. Really neglected. Yes, neglected, I think, is the best word for it.
And you get the sense that it's neglected because of the Oasis.
Because no one cares.
Right.
Because they've got something so much better.
Right.
In ones, obviously, I don't think that, like, a virtual world is 100% better in every way. But it has some major advantages. Like, you can teleport. You can
socially,
fly.
Socially, it has some major advantages.
Right. You can be friends with someone who doesn't live near you. You can trick yourself into feeling like you're actually interacting with them.
Yeah. And not only can you become friends with this person who's on the other side of the world, you can have the same experiences as them.
Mm-hmm. You can enter their environment. You can share an environment that is as real as almost anything to your brain. Yeah.
Or you can go to a completely different environment together.
Right. So, like, check it out. Is it easier to create a global virtual world that allows you to fly and teleport and basically violate the laws of physics? Or is it easier to figure out how to violate the laws of physics?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, there's a reason we call them laws.
Right. So all of a sudden you can fly, you can teleport... you can make yourself look like whatever you want, et cetera, et cetera. And if you just have, I'm going to eat these words, but all of a sudden, if you just sort of sustain your lame ass physical reality, then all of a sudden, you know, you're like a superhero. Well, see, the Matrix thing is like, the Matrix thing was imposed and it was not voluntary. And even in Ready Player One, there was a big concession to going back and forth between the things and choosing the gear that you use to go into the game or the world or whatever you want to call it. I don't see how this won't happen. I honestly don't see how this won't happen.
Very interested in what our grandchildren are going to be doing. And, that brings up something so interesting. Talking about education and getting other experiences and that sort of thing. You're talking about how accessible Google Cardboard is.
Mm-hmm.
You can make it for pennies.
Mm-hmm.
In developing countries that don't have normal access to the resources that we may have here and access to education or that maybe don't even have a public infrastructure for things like electricity and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like no grid.
You can still world and teach them anything, because I know all kinds of people who don't have running water, but they have Facebook.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because you've got connections in Africa.
Yeah. And Africa, I think Africa is, it's going to just skip all of the traditional infrastructure and things that we have here and go immediately into whatever's next, because it's going to be cheaper.
Yeah. Never mind. They're not just skipping broadband. They're skipping banking.
Yeah.
They're skipping desktop computers completely. And they're going to probably skip over big screens. And they're going to go straight to face-mounted computers because they're cheaper. And it's like,
you can make a cardboard headset for $2.
Yeah. And it turns your, like, basically free Android phone, or maybe you spent $50 on an Android phone. You get your hands on some cardboard, a cardboard pattern, you cut it out and put it on your face. And all of a sudden you're like,
you're touring museums in Paris.
Yeah. Here's the Louvre. Here's the White House. Here's Versailles.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how you make a windmill.
Yeah, here's how you make a windmill. Here's how you treat this injury. Mm. Here's how you
good one.
Do any number of other things. Yeah.
I think it's fair to say that there's a significant difference across every single aspect of society, every single type of media consumption, from nonprofit to straight up like Disney entertainment, that will be transformed by the ability to go inside of the experience instead of just looking at it in this frame, this, you know, this like two-dimensional rectangular frame.
Yeah, it's gonna open up a whole world of things to people who would never have otherwise had access to it.
Yeah, couldn't afford to transport their body to the place.
Right, right.
It sounds so barbaric when you think about it. Like, I have to send my whole body to the Louvre?
Yeah, virtual reality is never going to replace the experience of actual reality. But for all of those things that you can't actually do,
mm-hmm.
it's leaps and bounds better than not doing them at all.
This is like that situation where, yeah, no one's going to think for us. Like, hugging your kid is not going to happen in a freaking Oculus Rift.
Right.
You know? But a million other things can. Seeing Harry Potter ride a dragon through the ceiling of Gringotts Bank can happen in Oculus Rift.
Right.
Because you're not, like, missing that in the real world. Or, like knowing how to deal with a septic situation in an earthquake zone can happen in Oculus Rift. In fact, it's probably better there because you can actually deal with it without freaking mm-hmm. out. You know, like a simulation.
Right.
And the whole thing is a simulation. But I don't know how this is not going to be huge. I cannot come up with a way where this will not be a big, gigantic thing.
Right.
So folks, we have been talking way too long, but
we have, and we're not even going to get to the other three topics.
No, and we're not even close to even covering the rest of this stuff because there's a bunch of, so go to the page for this episode on terrifyingrobotdog.com, and there are going to be a bunch of links that we'll put up to the Amber Case Cyborg video and in a bunch of other stuff that is around this topic. So the Google announced recently they have this free program that they send to teachers where you get like cardboard in a box for an entire class with a master device that allows them to go on field trips to the bottom of the ocean or Mars or the surface of the moon. Google Camp. There's like the GoPro camera array thing. There's a million things to link to. This is a huge, I mean, I probably have said this about other things. I don't know if I've said it about smartwatches. I love smartwatches, but they're nothing compared to this. Yeah. Anyway. All right, folks, we'll let you go. Where's the end of the show? Show notes.
Yeah. All right. Scroll down past all the stuff that we never got to because this was too cool.
That's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shape.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
I think I only said like 2/3 of my name there.
Would you like to support Terrifying Robot Dog? Just think of two friends, just two, who would dig the show and send them to terrifyingrobotdog.com for links to iTunes, Facebook, and RSS feeds, if you know what that is. If you don't have two friends, you can still help us out by leaving a nice review on iTunes. Thanks a lot.